Please be seated. From time to time, I enjoy watching various documentary series, generally on YouTube. And one of my favorites is the BBC's Historical Farm series, which consists of six documentary series that illustrate the life and experience of farmers, laborers, fishermen, and others in various historical contexts, including the Victorian farm, the Edwardian farm, and my personal favorite, the Tudor Monastery farm. Gets wild in my house on Friday nights, my friends. Now, in each of these series, historians and experts commit to recreating life from that specific era. They live and work as if they were actually alive during the historic period. And one of the many fascinating things about this series is watching the evolution of farming techniques. How generations and centuries of people constantly strive to be more efficient, working and praying for the best harvest possible because their very lives depended on it. The consequences of a failed crop were absolutely devastating. So after watching and rewatching and then rewatching again these series, I must confess a bit of anxiety as I hear the words of today's gospel passage. I want to say to the sower in a not so calm voice, "What are you doing?" I mean, listen, I'm a city person making my first attempt at a container garden, but even I know you have to get the soil ready. Even I know that you've got to be intentional on where you plant the seeds. And yet, once again, God takes what appears to be foolishness to the world and opens our eyes to see the profound depths of God's wisdom at work. Today's gospel passage is known as the parable of the sower, and it is filled with a rich harvest for us. This is a parable about the extravagant evangelism of God, the importance of understanding, of perseverance and attentiveness, and the miracle of faith. In approaching this parable, we can read the sower as a whole host of people, preachers, teachers, evangelists, disciples, you and me. And we can also read the sower as God, as Jesus at work in the world. And no matter who we assign this role, the sower is one who spreads the good news. The sower is the person or persons who go out and proclaim the word of God to the world. They go out and live the gospel, making it come to life in each and every generation. Now, unlike the farmers in my beloved documentary series, the sower does not spend lots of time, or frankly, any time, cultivating the soil. He does not establish a task force to spend years studying the quality of the soil and determining which would be the best approach given the conditions. Nor does the sower take lots of surveys or consult the latest trends in Ancient Gardening Monthly magazine. The sower just sows. This parable reminds us that we are called to sow. Just like the sower, we are called to faithfully carry out our work, neither stressing nor fussing. We must hone our skills of getting comfortable with not knowing the outcome and acting anyway. We must go out and do the work given to us to do, trusting that God will take care of the rest, trusting that God will take care of the harvest. And when the sower casts those seeds wide, when the sower is extravagant in their efforts. Sometimes seeds do not land in the most ideal of places. As Jesus tells the parable, he says that the seeds land in four different places. Some seeds fall on the path, others fall on rocky ground, some fell among thorns, and others landed in good soil. And the location of the seed determines its future. Those first seeds that fell on the path, well, they had no chance, for the birds swooped in and enjoyed a tasty snack in the middle of the afternoon. The seeds that fell on rocky ground, well, they had a good start. They sprang up quickly, but they had no depth of soil. They did not have good, strong roots to ground and protect them. So when the sun rose, when the intensity of heat beat down on them, they were scorched. Then there were those seeds that fell among thorns. And let's be real, Jesus doesn't have to say anything else here. We know this isn't going to end well for them. As those seeds grew, the thorns grew too. Those good plants were pierced and choked out. By farming standards, the sower's not doing so well. So many seeds have failed to grow and thrive. So many seeds wasted, but hope is not lost. For some seeds fell on good soil. The grain brought forth by those seeds yielded harvests of 30, 60, and 100-fold. Those seeds yielded a harvest that was beyond the wildest imaginings of any sower. This parable invites us to let go of our notions of success and failure. This sower has a 25% success rate. And I don't care how steep your grading curve is, there's no way that's going to count as a passing measure under any rubric. By the standards of this world, the sower is a failure. But what Jesus makes clear is that there is no such thing as failure for God. For those few seeds yielded mind-blowing results. It was a good year for a farmer if the harvest was sevenfold. Tenfold meant true abundance. 30-fold would feed a village for a year, and a harvest of 100-fold? Well, that's when the farmer retires to a nice villa beside the Sea of Galilee and kicks up their feet and enjoys for the rest of their life. Too often in ministry and in life, we write off our efforts as failures. We say things like, well, we've tried that before and it didn't work. We look around and mourn that things are not as they once were. We feel our efforts wasted when things don't go as we hoped. We might even wonder if it's worth trying again. But this parable reminds us, the sower trusted and God provided. God is in control, not us. Our job is to be faithful to our role, to faithfully and extravagantly sow the seeds of the good news and trust that God will provide the harvest. We must let go of our qualifying efforts, qualifying our abilities by these misguided views of success and failure. As the church, we are called to try new things, to take risks. We're called to let go of the fear which holds us back. We do not need all the answers. We do not need to be experts or spend years studying and training. We just need to toss some seeds and watch what happens next. Sure, some seeds will be snatched up almost immediately. Some plants will be strangled and scorched, but that's okay. Let us have the courage to keep sowing, for there are bound to be some seeds that will fall on good soil. At the end of the day, seeds taking root, plants growing, harvests yielding, it's not up to us. The yields of this harvest are miraculous because God provides the growth. There is no force in the universe that can stop the will of God in the world. No matter how hard humanity or any spiritual force of wickedness tries, God's light will not be extinguished. God's love will not be transformed into hate. God's power will not be thwarted. It's our call to be faithful, to extravagantly sow seeds in the lives, in our lives and in our communities, trusting that God will take care of the rest. Now, there is something in this parable that we do have control over. For sometimes we're not the sower, but rather the soil. We must therefore ask ourselves, what kind of ground do God's seeds fall on in us? It's vital that we tend to our spiritual lives, that we do the work, the cultivation necessary to be the disciples God has called us to be, to pray, learn, and work together, to continue to grow in the knowledge and love of God together, to continue to live out all the lessons about discipleship that we have heard in these recent weeks. Most of all, we are called to be open. Open to the Spirit of God working in us. Open to the Spirit of God tending to the pain and brokenness we carry. Open to the Spirit of God dismantling any barriers and walls we have placed around our hearts. If we can remain open to God working in our lives, then God will be able to tend the soil of our souls. Throughout the course of human history, God has always fulfilled God's promises. God does not abandon God's people. Those with ears to hear this teaching from Jesus discover that amidst the swooping birds, the thorns, the scorching heat, and whatever other terrors and obstacles are revealed, God will find a way. And that's exactly what the prophet proclaims as well. Today we hear beautiful words of promise from Isaiah. This is reassurance for the people of Israel that after years of suffering in exile, as they return home, God will continue to be with them. God's word will accomplish all that God intends for God's people. And because of this, the people and all creation, the trees, the mountains, the hills, can rejoice. The promise of restoration, the ability to rejoice in the midst of the challenges of life, are woven through Paul's words to the church in Rome. Paul proclaims to the faithful that they can let go of their fear about what the world will do to them because the Spirit of God dwells in them. They have been set free through Jesus from the ways of sin and death. No matter what they face in this life, they will know the peace which only God can give. Throughout these lessons, God is calling out to us, inviting us to trust that God does not make empty promises. The promises which God has made with God's people from the beginning of time are made to us as well. We will experience the profound abundance of God. We will experience the rejoicing of creation as God sets things aright. We will experience the liberation of life in the Spirit if we choose to listen. There's good reason why Jesus ends the parable by saying, "Let anyone with ears listen." Beloved of God, let us listen closely to all that God is saying to us. Let us beware of the forces that seek to draw us away from the work of God in our lives, those forces which seek to snatch us from the path. Let us continue to work to understand who God is calling us to be, setting down roots for ministry so we will not be scorched by the trials of life. Let us be prepared to take risks for the sake of the gospel, avoiding those thorns which constrain and pierce. Let us be bold. Let us be faithful. Let us dare to believe in the abundance of God.